Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game.
I know.
Hello and welcome to the Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football Podcast. We are here back together again in our respective quarantines. It is National Beer Day, but more importantly, the Bucks released their new uniforms. Are you excited?
They're a lot better than the digital clock uniforms.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. big takeaways, some of the uniforms looked like the Falcons uniforms, but I really kind of dig the gray ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, the color rush looks nice. I don't mind the, you know, the white and the red that they went with, because it does look a lot like their older ones from when they won that Super Bowl in the early aughts. So I'm glad they didn't fuck it up. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they certainly could have made it a lot worse. I think the Falcons just announced that they're going to be releasing some new uniforms too, but we're not here to analyze uniforms, but we are here to analyze fantasy football. And obviously we're going to start today with our kickoff question. We've got an onside kick question for today as well, just to spice things up. And then we're going to talk about the draft, talk about some things that I don't think a lot of the fantasy football community is talking about, more so the players that could be impacted by players that are drafted, just to make sure that, you know, it's not just going to be the rookies that see a change in value, but the guys that are actually on the teams already and could be competing for spots with the rookies. So hopefully everyone's doing well in quarantine, staying safe, staying home, and having a good time nonetheless. Andrew, what have you been up to in these past couple weeks since we've been like full in quarantine now for almost a month now, which is crazy?
I know. My girlfriend and I were just looking at the schedule and we're like, is this the third week or the fourth week? So fortunately it's the fourth week, because it feels like it's been that long for sure. We've been hanging in there, watching a lot of movies and TV, as everyone is, I think. I'm trying to write more, look into some, you know, deeper stuff with fantasy. We've been obsessed with, or at least I've been obsessed with, this long form dynasty draft that we did, and my roster is finally full. So I might write up something about that and what I learned in auction dynasty. But, you know, I'm just happy we're starting to, after 2 weeks into it, we started using the Zoom calls so we can actually like see each other while we're recording the podcast as well. For those of you listening to the pod, you can't see us waving at each other, but we totally are.
Yeah. And Garner, how are you doing? You're a little bit further north in Chicago, but we don't want to forget about you up there.
I'm doing good. I'm doing my best to stay sane. My girlfriend still lives out of state right now, so just kind of keeping myself up here and trying not to go crazy.
Great. Well, we're all trying not to go crazy right now. And one kind of crazy thing that the NFL did is expand the playoffs to have an extra team, which means there will be an extra game, two games on wildcard weekend in 2021, or following the 2021 season. And they announced that one of the broadcasts will be on Nickelodeon to try and bring in a younger audience, which is kind of interesting. But that brings us to our kickoff question of this week.
And this game is underway.
So now that we know that there's going to be a broadcast in Nickelodeon, which characters from Nickelodeon only shows would you want as part of your three-person broadcasting team? So you've got two in the booth and one on the field. Andrew, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so I already told you guys this is the hardest question that came up for this episode for me. Put a lot of thought into this. And I think for, you know, for context for the people listening, the era that I was really influenced by when I was watching Nick growing up was probably like right at the beginning of the 2000s, you know, right around when the Bucks won the Super Bowl. So those are the shows that come to mind. Back when the jingle for the show was like Nick, 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 Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
So that's the context around it. So my play-by-play guy is going to be Arnold Shortman from Hey Arnold. Yes, he does have a last name. I think they announced it in like 2016 or something. I think from what I remember of him, you know, he's talented at sports. He was the best basketball player on the team. He was beating fifth graders at football when he was a fourth grader, real X's and O's guy. I'll have to tweet that clip out later of them schooling fifth graders. And just like a cool kid. So I feel like he'd be a chill personality to be a good fit for play-by-play. The color commentator I chose is Nigel Thornberry from The Wild Thornberrys, voiced by the legendary Tim Curry. In case you don't remember Nigel Thornberry, he was an award-winning nature TV host, documentarian. I think that, you know, his ability to observe things in the wild makes him a great person to commentate on, you know, grown men running around the field, chasing a ball, a bag of wind, as our Chris Wessling would say of the NFL. So I love him for being eccentric and highly memeable, kind of like a little bit of Booger in him as well. And then on the sideline, I would have Carly Shay from iCarly. This was the main character from, played by Miranda Cosgrove, so you might recognize that name. I never watched that show a lot, but she had her own web show. She was basically like the original YouTuber, and I think she would be, you know, a great presence to have on the field and could actually work up some hijinks with some of the players on the sideline as well.
That's a very interesting combination. Obviously, in the booth, you have a football head and a guy with some very eccentric hair. So quite the combination. I actually have a fairly similar combination, but switching it up a little bit. So I've got Carly from iCarly as the play-by-play. Obviously, she's got some experience talking. She knows how to sort of work the field and work the camera, all that sort of stuff. And the one person I'm going to replace is the call and commentary person, who is Kenan Thompson from Kenan and Kel. He's got such an accomplished career from SNL, Kenan and Kel. Again, I just think he can add some of those boogerism type things into the commentary and make it fun for the different types of users. And then on the field, it's Arnold from Hey Arnold. I don't even remember the last name that you gave because I didn't know he had a last name. But football head on the field, like, you, it sort of makes sense. Maybe like confuses some of the players. Like, oh my gosh, there's the football. Oh no, there's the football. Oh no, wait, that's Arnold. And you just sort of need something goofy on the field. But Garner, what's your trio gonna be like? Anyone new that you're adding?
Oh, they're all new. They're all three are new.
Perfect, perfect.
So my play-by-play, I went from Avatar The Last Airbender. I went with Sokka. He's the one who does have any special powers, but he's just a very excitable guy who would be fun to listen to play-by-play because he gets very excited. He's very just into it. He's yelling. He's really happy. And then to break it all down in the color commentary, I'm going with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Donatello. Ooh. He's like the sciencey nerdy one, so he'd be good at breaking it down and explaining things.
I like it.
And then I went, again, a completely different way on the field here. I'm going with Cat Dog. Four eyes. They can see so much more down there and catch everything.
Man, maybe we should get Cat Dog in the booth trying to review some instant replay.
There's definitely a lot of different Nick duos that came to my mind, but I wanted to use more than, you know, one show. Like, you could have Drake and Josh in the booth with each other. You could have... I guess like Arnold and Gerald from Hey Arnold. There's another, Kenan and Kel, like you mentioned Kenan. Yeah. So definitely a lot of dynamic duos on Nick. It would be funny if they did like cameos during the playoff game, but, and let's move on to that onside kick question.
Yeah. We'll see how that turns out. Well, like we teased the onside kick question, another thing that the NFL announced recently, obviously with all of the pandemic issues going on and the social distancing, the draft will now be done completely virtual, which means they'll be doing it just like we're talking now, just like you do it with your fantasy football drafts, which I think is absolutely awesome. So
yeah,
the onside kick question is, which team's virtual war room would you like to be a part of the most? And I'm going to start because for me, it's John Gruden and the Raiders. Like, I just am so enamored by John Gruden. I could just see him, like, losing his shit during the draft. And you just seeing, like, John Gruden has left the chat. And he just logs off for, like, 20 minutes and then comes back. He's like, all right, guys, I need to get a running back. I need to get a tight end. Which I think would just be
spilling Diet Coke on his router. Like, I figure we were asking Garner before we started, like, he had one idea, and my bet would have been that it was John Gruden and the Raiders, but
you're actually wrong. I'm thinking the Texans. I just want to watch Bill O'Brien talk to himself. I like to imagine that he sets up two separate accounts, like two laptops on different sides of the table, and he'll talk into it on one side as the coach and then run around as the GM and be like, it's an interesting point, but I think we're going to go for someone else, and then run back to the first computer.
Yeah, that's funny because I wrote Texans as well, and I wrote, would literally just be Bill O'Brien talking to himself.
Yeah, what are we thinking about trading up? We can deal Deshaun Watson, maybe move up five spots. Oh boy. Yeah, I did have the Raiders mentioned, but I would, you know, if I can't go with the Raiders, I would definitely go with the Dolphins, just because, you know, they have the most picks. So I want to see that level of chaos. They have three picks in the first round, I believe, and that's going to be, I think, a lot more exciting than just, you know, the Packers waiting for them to pick at the end of the first round.
Those are all fantastic answers. I think there's obviously a lot of jokes going around with some of the older folks in the league, Gruden included, about them actually utilizing technology and whether they'll be able to handle the craziness that is a potential Zoom. I think the one thing before we get into our draft talk, I would be fascinated to be working at like an ESPN or an NFL network right now to see how they're going to work all of that. Are we going to get, like, not that we're going to get look-ins to these video conferences, like, not like we got a look into war rooms in the past, but how are they going to do that? Like, is Roger Goodell going to join the video chat at some point and announce the picks, or how's the whole production going to end up? So it certainly will be an interesting time in a couple weeks. But speaking of the draft, let's get into some actual fantasy football analysis now. So, like I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk through just some questions that, again, I think a lot of people haven't been focusing on. A lot of the talks have been about some of the top quarterbacks and receivers and running backs as well, and not necessarily as much focus on how the new rookies will impact the players on the team. So we'll be answering these questions as we go through them from a redraft perspective, so not dynasty or keeper, but want to focus on the 2020 season as it stands. So I'll start it off by asking which player currently on an NFL roster has the most to gain as a result of the draft? And Andrew, I'll pass it to you to start.
Sure. Thanks, Sam. And, you know, speaking of passing, I do have a quarterback in mind for this. Ooh. And it's Baker Mayfield, because last year, which we talked about, it almost seems like a year ago now, that there was a real chance with all the weapons they added on offense for things to still go to shit. Like, the hype was there and they totally underdelivered as a team from a fantasy perspective, especially. And I think a big reason for that was because of the offensive line issues that they had. Even if you take the coaching out of it, the O-line was a big issue. The Browns already signed Jack Conklin to be their right tackle. They gave him a pretty sizable contract. But their other tackle, Greg Robinson, who I just looked up, was actually like the number two overall pick in 2014. So sad to see this, but he was arrested for allegedly 157 pounds of marijuana. I think that was before they signed Conklin. So you know, the Conklin signing's great, but I think that the Browns need to draft a new left tackle, like left tackle of the future at number 10 to really bolster that line so they can get back to, you know, the exciting Browns offense that we saw in that small sample size back in 2018. So I'm hoping that, you know, they target one of these top guys that keep popping up in mock drafts, whether that be Mekhi Becton, Tristan Wirfs, Andrew Thomas, or Jedrick Wills. I think those are all options, and if they missed out on one, I'd be pretty disappointed.
No, that's a good point you bring up. I know in our free agency recap pod we did a couple of weeks ago, we didn't bring up the Jack Conklin signing because it wasn't a positional player that necessarily has a fantasy football value, but certainly helps Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, and the rest of the Browns. And I think Baker's got a shot at fully outperforming his current ADP, which I think is around quarterback 15, and could be a great post-hype sleeper pick. The players, it's actually a couple of players that I think have the most to gain are the Rams running backs and Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown. And they have the most to gain by the Rams not drafting another running back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Rams got rid of Todd Gurley. They got rid of that major contract. So there's an opportunity for both of them to step up, or even one of them to step up and take that lead role. And if they draft a running back in the first four rounds, I'll say, then it's just going to be sort of a mishmash of guys that probably won't separate from each other. And it might just, again, be a big headache for fantasy football, because for the past however many years Todd Gurley's been on the team, it's just been the Todd Gurley show. And I think that's what everyone wants and is expecting. But if they add a third running back, it could turn it into a full-on running back by committee.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that, because I think they do need more help at O-line as well. I don't know who they would get at that position in the draft, but I feel like they invested in Henderson last year, so why go that well round again, or go down that well again, rather?
You would think, but teams have done stupider things. So the next question, we'll flip it, and we're going to look at players currently on NFL rosters who have the most to lose as a result of the draft. And I'm going to keep it in the same position group at running back, and that's Damian Williams. There has been a lot of talk about the Chiefs taking a running back. Mm-hmm. And if they spend an early round pick, I think it shows that they're trying to replace Damian Williams, but they're not comfortable having him as the only starter in that offense. Obviously, they took Darwin Thompson last year, but that was a later round pick. And people sort of thought like, ooh, maybe this is like a sexy late round draft pick. But if they actually use a ton of draft capital on a running back, then it shows to me that, okay, they're in this window right now where they're going to give Patrick Mahomes as many weapons as they can. Damian Williams can be that in a limited role, but we're also going to run this other running back into the ground.
Yeah, I like that pick, because we've talked about on previous episodes that Damian Williams particularly is good, or has been great, for the Chiefs in the passing game. And he could easily become a third down back in that regard. And then you think about bringing in a rookie like who can make an immediate impact. I definitely see that's something they could do, because a lot of times, I like when I've been hearing people about drafting or signing running backs or trading for Christian McCaffrey, as it's been rumored, like you'd have to be a running back away from a Super Bowl in that regard. And the Chiefs already won a Super Bowl without like a new talent at running back. So they could really bolster that position spot, maybe take some pressure off of Mahomes if they do go that route. I have a running back as well I'd like to talk about, because I've been eyeing, again, team we talked about this episode, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that they've really got a good core on defense. I know it was bad at the beginning of the year last season, but they're a team that could really think that they're a running back away now that they've got Tom Brady on the team. I know Bruce Arians said something like they're looking for a pass catcher to fill in. So that's not great for Dare Ogunbowale, or a fellow Badger, but really, I want to talk about Ronald Jones because I know a lot of people are still standing for Ronald Jones, talking about how he is really talented and he's getting better in the position. But if Ronald Jones isn't the full package and the Bucks decide, well, we want to get another young guy in here after letting Peyton Barber go in this offseason, I think Rojo would turn from this high upside sleeper who on Fantasy Football Calculator right now is getting drafted in like the eighth round. I feel like he's going to become a complete afterthought if the Bucks draft someone early on. And I feel like that 14th pick like a perfect spot for them to take like a Jonathan Taylor or a DeAndre Swift.
It'll be interesting to see, because I think it's a no-brainer that they're going to take a running back. And
But it's like, where do they do it?
It's where do they do it? Because 14 seems a little bit too rich, again, too rich for my blood in taking a running back when they could potentially bolster their secondary and then take a almost as equally competent running back in the second round.
Sure.
Or even maybe they trade down to get that running back that they're looking for. I do agree that if they take a running back in the first two or three rounds, Ronald Jones will become an afterthought in terms of fantasy because everyone will want the new hotness and the new weapon on the Buccaneers. So
I know that
would be interesting.
Yeah. I know that we're not here to really talk about like where we think players are going to go and things like that, like in terms of, you know, running back that early in the draft. But I feel like the last memorable guys that we saw taken that early in the running back position were like Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, because they're both top 10 picks, I believe. Do you think that, Wisconsin bias aside, that Jonathan Taylor is that good of a player? Because I think I get the sense that after his combine, some scouts might think like, oh, he is like the next big thing at running back. And obviously Saquon Barkley was taken number 2 overall. So that's the other guy that comes to mind.
I mean, I've heard a lot of comps of Jonathan Taylor to Saquon Barkley, maybe not on that Saquon Barkley level of like, oh my God, Saquon Barkley, like he's the master of the universe at running back.
Yeah.
But I think there are enough teams that maybe want a running back that could take him in the first round. It's interesting that there's been a lot of talk over the last several months of the replaceability of running back. So do you even want to draft a running back that high, knowing that you could take a guy in the third round potentially that has just as much value? But why don't we move on? We've got a couple questions left and we'll try to keep these answers a little bit shorter so we can get this episode out. But the next one is, which under the radar draft prospect are you keeping a close eye on for his landing spot?
Yeah, for me, it's pretty much any wide receiver after the top three. I think, you know, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and Henry Ruggs will all have pretty high draft capital, which will be great for them in their draft stock in redraft. I think it's all of the guys in this wide receiver class after that that I want to see where they land, to see how quickly they can get on the field, because they could get drafted by a team that already has two or three wide receivers. It's kind of difficult to figure out right now.
I'll give you a specific name, and that's Quintez Cephas. Obviously, we have a lot of Wisconsin bias here, having gone to school there. And he went to our alma mater, and we just talked about Jonathan Taylor. But his stock dropped a little bit following the combine. He didn't have a great 40-yard dash. And like you said, this wide receiver class is deep, and people are really only talking about, from a fantasy football perspective, like Lamb, Jeudy, Ruggs, like all these guys that are likely going to be taken in the first round. And Cephas could go in the third round to a potentially better situation that lands him the opportunity to potentially have a better fantasy season. Mm-hmm. And speaking of landing spots, we'll move into our final couple questions. And these are sort of somewhat similar to the first ones we asked, but what are some rookie landing spots for players that would make you immediately take them off your draft board?
Yeah, for me, I think any wide receiver landing in Denver would be tough. just because they've got mediocre QB play right now. You've already got Cortland Sutton there, who you expect to dominate targets along with Noah Fant, and they just signed Melvin Gordon. I feel like that Denver should just draft an offensive line in the first round, so instead of some, you know, second wide receiver or playmaker, because I feel like, when was the last time we saw a defensive-minded head coach in the NFL decide that they're going to be a pass-heavy attack and just get the ball like to every receiver they can? I feel like signing Melvin Gordon shows they're going to be more of this ground-and-pound team, and that's what I imagine Vic Fangio wants to do.
I totally agree. It's not that I would take a Broncos wide receiver totally off my board, but I don't want them to take a wide receiver because like, I want Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant to hog all those targets and be extremely valuable assets. I'm going to follow you in a similar matter. I don't want any wide receiver to land with the Jets because of Adam Gase. Our next question. What landing
spot? That's it?
That's pretty much it. Like a lot of mock drafts have been showing a wide receiver to the Jets in the first round because obviously they just lost Robbie Anderson, but Sam Darnold doesn't excite me that much, and Adam Gase. So
who are you targeting in redraft pending?
Yeah. So our last question while we wrap up here, what landing spots for any position would make you target a rookie in redraft the most?
Yeah, I was going to let you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. Mine is, it's a bit of a sneaky one, and there was a rumor that came out last week that the Steelers were potentially going to target a running back in this draft. And I know everyone's first thought is, well, James Conner is still there. They have Jalen Samuels, and they just drafted someone last year. Like, that doesn't make sense. So I think, hear me out. Connor has had some bad injury luck. We saw that last year. Like, he was as fragile as almost any player last year. It seems like the Steelers want to use just one workhorse running back, and they've shown that for the last basically decade. The offense is primed to bounce back. So it's not necessarily someone that I'm going to target with my third or fourth round pick, but in round 10 or 11, if they draft someone in the third round, I'm definitely going to take a stab at them with the upside that Connor potentially gets hurt and this guy eventually becomes the workhorse back.
Yeah, that is really interesting. It scares me for James Connor's value, obviously, but we'll have to see what happens there, because if they did draft a running back, that would send a pretty strong message about that running back room. So call back to what we were just talking about. I actually picked Jerry Jeudy to the Jets for this. So if I saw Jerry Jeudy going to the Jets, I'd probably want to target him. You know, that's been talked about a lot, specifically, I think, Jeudy to the Jets. Everyone loves alliteration. So I think I believe a bit more in Darnold's talent and him taking the next step than you do. Especially just because he did have mono last year, which is like a complete fucking anomaly. And he could have been, I don't know how long you have to recover from mono. I've never had it, but I feel like that could be a lot. Not really the best way to start off a season.
Sick brag.
yeah, sick brag. I'm healthy, fortunately. But anyway, I don't know about Gase dragging him down. I feel like the defense is, outside of what Jamal Adams, it's fairly mediocre right now. So they're going to have to throw a lot. And Jeudy will be the new X receiver in town. I feel like he's going to take up a lot of targets from Darnold. So he has the best immediate opportunity to make an impact if he goes there.
It will be interesting because, I think it's almost a no-brainer that a wide receiver will land with the Jets, whether it's in the first round or not, because they do have a need there. I think it'll be interesting to see how targets get divvied up between the new incoming rookie and Jamison Crowder, who had a really good season last year and hogged a lot of the targets, which made him a very valuable asset, especially in PPR leagues.
Yeah, Crowder was wide receiver 31 in half PPR last season. So I think he did come on strong towards the end of the year. But just to put it in context, like you're thinking about Judy, if he's going to be like a top pick in the first round, compare that to a guy like, you know, Terry McLaurin, who's like a third round pick, went to the Redskins and was getting passes thrown to him from like Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins. If you try to compare it, maybe it's maybe not apples to apples, but that guy with that draft capital and that situation, but he was still had to have been getting the most targets because the Redskins were just awful. Translate right. that situation to the Jets, and you could have at least a high upside wide receiver three.
That's a great point. All right, we are going to wrap this show up. As always, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at PodAfterTD. You can follow myself at Sam Hoppin, and for Andrew Mackins at Andrew Mackins, and our producer Garner at Gunther. Please stay safe, stay healthy, and the kick
is
good.